Hello everyone, I hope you are well. I'm Carlos Carnicero Uravallen and I want to welcome you all to Future is Blue, a series of podcasts bringing together top experts from academia and think tanks to discuss the most pressing European economic and policy challenges of today. This is a Funcas Europe initiative and we hope we can bring new ideas for a more inspiring debate about Europe. Today we are featuring a new CIFO report by Funcas, and as usual we've invited to the program Alice Fabischenko, who's senior advisor at Funcas. Thank you for joining us, Alice.
Thank you, Carlos. It's great to be back here again with you today.
Excellent. Welcome. Today we're going to be talking about the Spanish labor market, and we know that improving the labor market and reducing unemployment in Spain, it's a key policy objective. It's been a key policy objective for a while to increase the country's productivity and long-term growth potential. And indeed, creating quality, sustainable employment remains one of the main challenges for the Spanish economy. So how would you say the labor market has been evolving in Spain recently, and how is it compared to previous periods post-crisis?
Let's put things into some historical perspective. So the labor market in Spain really has typically been one of the major weaknesses in Spain's economy. So if we look over the past five decades, the unemployment rate, it's really only been in single digits for a brief period of time. And that was, you know, before the onset of the financial crisis. And you know, as we saw, that was driven by an unsustainable credit bubble. Also, Spanish unemployment, if we look across Europe, it's really been higher than the rates observed across European peers. And that's virtually been the case, unfortunately, nonstop since the harmonized data started to exist. So according to, for example, the latest Eurostat data for 2023, Spain's unemployment was around 12% and the EU average was about 6%. So if we kind of dig deeper into what are the main causes of this long-standing problem in Spain, one of the things that we find is that it's been excessively pro-cyclical in terms of creation and destruction of employment. So what that really means is traditionally when we have a recessionary period, we've seen disproportionate job losses, and then it's been hard to recover those losses during periods of Spain's growth. Recently, however, it's been interesting because the performance of Spain's labor market really has improved, and we are starting to close in a bit on European standards. That could be attributed to a mix of, you know, some recent policy reforms, demographic changes. In particular, one thing that, you know, we're excited about really is that employment has become much more resilient to recessionary pressure. So we can see that, for example, when we look at the last episode of unemployment during the pandemic. So we've seen that Spanish, you know, the employment really has responded better to this crisis than previous episodes of recession. So this time we've had decreases in employment by less than economic activity, and it's recovered within the last 2 years. So for example, during the financial crisis in Spain, employment contracted by much more than GDP. So this is, you know, there are some positive developments and some bright spots in that regard.
That is definitely positive news, but what do you think then is underpinning the outstanding issues in Spanish for the Spanish labor market?
Yes, no, it's true. So despite kind of some of this more recent positive performance, there are some key weaknesses that still remain. And two of the key weaknesses that we've really discovered, on the one hand, first, you have shortcomings in placing job seekers. So that's making unemployment more persistent than we'd like to see. So in Spain, for example, it's not easy to come off a period of long-term unemployment. So that's a phenomenon, unfortunately, that's affecting disproportionately less skilled workers and women who are looking to go back into the labor force after maternity leave, for example. So you know, kind of putting this into context, these high rates of unemployment, long-term unemployment particularly, we have in Spain job seekers who have been actively looking for work for more than a year, and they represent about 4% of the labor force, and that's twice the European average. And secondly, you know, the second point weakness here is really that the transition from studying to work is really difficult, and you can see that evidenced by these high rates of youth unemployment according to European standards. Also, interestingly enough, and we'll get into this a little bit more as well when we talk about the issues affecting the youth in terms of the job market. Young people in Spain, a lot of them, they're really overqualified for the work that they perform. So, looking at kind of recent statistics on that issue, 35% of the young people who work in Spain are considered overqualified for their jobs. And that compares to less than 25% in the EU on average. So, all of these are really important challenges that we need to start addressing. When it comes to maintaining employment growth and closing the social divide. So it's really going to be important to tackle them, particularly in light of some of these really, significant technological changes that we're seeing, which is really being accelerated by the deployment of artificial intelligence.
Following up on some of the bright spots in labor market trends, I understand this CFO takes a closer look at the recent evidence from online job posting to corroborate the claim that labor demand is indeed growing in Spain.
Yes, this is an interesting point, Carlos. So in the March issue of CEFO, we include a piece on growth of the Spanish labor demand. And as we alluded in the previous point, we are happy to see that Spain's labor demand has demonstrated increased resilience in the face of this last pandemic crisis, which is a better performance relative to what we've seen during other periods of crisis. So in fact, if we look at the period between 2021 and 2023, we've seen that employment in Spain grew by over 1 million people or 6%. So with over 20 million people in work by the end of 2023. So to confirm this trend, this growing labor demand, we look at how job postings have sustained growth in line with this increasing trend that we've seen in job postings through February 2024. And that's also despite the fact that we saw a more significant drop in hiring in Spain at the start of the pandemic compared to other countries. So just to kind of go into why we're looking at job postings. So job postings and vacancies, they're really crucial indicators of labor demand in Spain or in general, but in Spain, we're looking specifically, they act as early signals of wage pressures and they help to identify potential mismatches between available positions and skill sets. So if we look at the job postings in Spain, they were up 50% from February 2020 through February 2024. And so, as we referenced previously, this does suggest empirically that the pandemic didn't do that much long-standing damage to labor demand in Spain. So the analysis in this piece, it really supports this positive correlation between job posting growth and wage growth, which makes sense. We've seen occupations for which job postings have risen more strongly. Generally, these have seen greater increases in advertised wages between the period under observation. So that suggests that at least part of this recent acceleration in Spanish wage growth, it may be attributable to the surge in demand for new workers. There's other factors at play, such as the bargaining power of workers and unions, particularly in this context of high inflation and minimum wage increases that we're seeing. So that also likely, played a role. But essentially, we are seeing that, that increased job postings are also affecting this wage performance. In any event, data from early 2024, we are seeing some decline in the total stock of job postings in Spain from their peak, but we're still seeing that influx of new job postings is continuing to rise. And that suggests that employers are still optimistic and they're maintaining optimism about the near-term economic prospects in Spain. And this is also reflecting their hiring intentions. So also just to put this into context, job postings in Spain, they do remain elevated, and that's both in comparison to historical levels and also compared to current trends that we're observing in other large European economies where we're seeing a gradual slowdown persist. And so, just to put it all together, all of this is kind of, providing hope in the fact that we should see a solid employment and growth outlook for Spain in 2024 relative to other advanced economies. And, these job posting indicators, they'll serve as key market indicators to kind of watch out for as the year unfolds.
So, Alice, it feels like there are really signs of improvement for the Spanish labor market. Do you think that's the case, or you feel that some pockets of the labor market still show significant weaknesses that need to be addressed?
Yeah, I mean it's true. This unbalance has been kind of some positive commentary, but we have seen some notable improvements, taking into account also that there's been a favorable development on the cyclical side, right? We have a more positive, favorable macroeconomic climate supporting some of these points. And there have been some structural improvements related to policy reforms. But yes, to balance things out, there are still significant problems, in particular the high level of structural unemployment, and that's disproportionately affecting the Spanish youth. So, for example, if we look at the fact that, Spanish millennials, this is one of the best educated generation in our history. And even still, Spanish youths have found it really hard to find work. So if, we can see that by looking at the youth unemployment rate in Spain, which is 28%, which is twice the EU average of around 14%. So for this segment of the population, the youth, job quality and employment rates, they've really been significantly lower than the rest of the population, Spanish population as a whole. This has led to an increased concentration of young people who are moving into the cities, and they're doing that in search of work. But that's kind of been a double-edged sword. So, people are moving to the cities where there should be more job opportunities, but in these cities, the young people are also facing more expensive housing, and that's really putting pressure on their savings, making it harder for them to buy a home, and ultimately reducing their wealth. So this problem has, important repercussions for society as a whole. So, it's related to increased pressures on the social security system because we're seeing lower birth rates, and that's being driven by the fact that, all of these housing market issues are making it harder for people to leave home. And the age of at which young Spaniards are leaving home is that's about past 30, as of the latest data in 2022. So we're also seeing increases in income inequality, decreases in aggregate demand, all of that with knock-on effects on the real economy. So, we really have to turn the situation around, and it's vital to do so. We have to pursue evidence-based public policies that foster, creation of quality work, stable work, increase housing supply, especially in large cities where there's so much demand for housing, for young people, and that's concentrated. So it's really going to be crucial to get some of these policies underway so that Spain's youth can really reap their full potential and contribute to the country's economy in a way that, we believe they can, and increase overall well-being.
Well said, Alice. I think you explained so well the ramifications of the labor market into other key aspects of society and the challenges that still needs to be addressed for and that policymakers should really consider some of the last things you said. I think that it was very well said. In any case, for those who wants to learn more about this, I recommend everyone to take a look at the latest C4 report, which we will include in the show notes of this podcast, as usual. So, Alice Fibyshenko, who's Senior Advisor at Funcas, thank you, Alice, for joining us as usual.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Carlos.
Thank you all for joining. This was all for now. We will come back soon with more exciting speakers on Europe's economic and policy-related key debates. Future is Blue is a Funcas Europe initiative. I'm Carlos Carnicero Urabayen, and if you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to recommend it to others and share it on social media. Thank you all, and stay well.